Good morning again, and we're thankful to have you tuned in with us and here with us on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast again today. We've been trying to consider together from the Word of God the topic of providence, of the providence of the Lord in moving in the lives of His children. And today, we want to focus on what we will call eternal providence. And the reason why we want to lay this foundation is because we don't know the will of God in our life, and we don't necessarily know how and what ways and what dynamic ways God will work in our life. But we have a hope that God loves us, and we know that He's going to guide circumstances as our good Heavenly Father to bless His children. But we don't necessarily know how things are always going to turn out. And many times we might get discouraged because we may have a concern about how things may happen or how things may occur. And what we want to lay is the foundation that the reason why we can have confidence in God's providence in our daily life is because of God seeing our need in eternity and providing for our need in eternity and saving us from our sins. And if He provided for that need, then why would we ever doubt that God's going to take care of our needs on a day in, a day out basis, right? And furthermore, if God did that for you, and He takes care of the lilies of the field that toil not, neither do they spin, but God takes care of them. If God takes care of the grass, and He takes care of the lilies, and He takes care of the animals, and He takes care of all the rest of creation, how much more so is God going to take care of His children that He loved, that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for, okay? So most of this series that we're considering together is the dynamic workings of God's providence in our daily life. But listen, the reason why we have confidence, the reason why we have a hope that God will bless us in a providential way in our life, that God is not going to leave us and forsake us in the midst of this trial, is because God didn't leave us and forsake us when we were in a destitute state before the foundation of the world, you see? So the reason why we have confidence that God's going to bless us today is rooted and grounded in the bedrock foundation of God seeing our need before the foundation of the world and covenanting for Jesus to come and pay for our sins. So providence, the definition of providence is active foresight, not just seeing a need, but procuring everything that is necessary for that need to be supplied. So before the foundation of the world, what was our need? Which is just amazing, the dynamic omniscience and power of God. That I was not created yet. I had no physical substance until 1989 AD. But I have a hope because I love God and I trust He loved me first and I believe in Jesus Christ. And I believe that I am among the people that God chose before the foundation of the world because I love Jesus Christ and I believe in Jesus Christ. And I say that with all the humility in the world. I know I'm not worthy of that. I know there was no difference in me from anyone else that He didn't choose. But I have a hope that God saw fit to choose me before the foundation of the world. But you know what? I was not born for many, many years. You know, this world's been around for about 6,000 years. In the chronology of the world, I wasn't going to be born for well over 6,000 years. But God, in His perfect omniscience, knew everything that was going to happen. And He knew, He didn't cause it, but He knew that Adam was going to make a mistake in the garden and be tempted to sin. So He knew what would end up coming. So God, in His perfect omniscience, He knew perfectly what the needs of His people were going to be. And He also knew the outcomes of if He did not provide, if He did not intervene. And that outcome would be that all of mankind, without exception, would be justly condemned into an eternity of judgment of the Lord in the lake of fire. And that would be just. That would be just. But God looked out over all the people that He knew would ultimately be born in the history of the world, and He knew that all of them would be sinners. All of them would fall into sin because of our federal head, Adam. And God saw fit to choose a people to save, to elect a people to save out of that group because He loved them. Because He loved them to the praise of the glory of His grace. So God saw a need, and He didn't just choose them, though. He made a covenant. We talked last time from Romans chapter 8 and the covenant of redemption, foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justification, glorification. And before the foundation of the world, the three persons of the Godhead made a covenant to execute every requirement of that covenant of redemption. Why? Because there was a need, and God enacted the covenant of redemption to provide for that need, He executed the fulfillment of that covenant to provide for that need, for the end destination, the end goal of all of this is that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and that we would be in heaven with God at the end of time. Okay? That's the destination, predestined. God predetermined our destination for the elect because he saw a need, he enacted the covenant of redemption, and then in the course of time, he executed the covenant of redemption. So everything that was necessary for his people to be saved from this great need they would have, everything that is necessary is there when the day of judgment comes. And then when the day of judgment comes to Jesus' second coming, what's really going to be necessary for us is really just Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is going to stand up and he said, I paid the penalty. Now, there were things that had to happen. Our soul had to be changed in regeneration. Our body has to be changed in glorification. But at the end of the day, what we needed was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is going to stand up at that last day and say, here are me and all the children that thou hast given me. What we needed to provide for our need was Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, some people would have a doctrinal belief system that would say that, yeah, God saw the need, but he looked out and he saw everyone that would choose him, everyone that would live a good enough life, and those were the people that he chose to save. Scripture does give us a little bit of information about God looking out to view the condition of those that were in a perilous state. And what was the result of that evaluation? Psalm 14, verses 2 to 3. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. That's what God did. He looked out in his omniscience before the foundation of the world and said, who are the people that are worthy to live in heaven? And what did he find? Verse 3. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. No exceptions to that. So, based on the merit of these people, how many people is God going to choose? Nobody. Big zilch. Everybody's going to the lake of fire, right? Why? Because we're sinners. We have nothing to offer God. We have nothing to offer God. But you want to know who he chose to save? Those that he loved that were all in the pitiful state. Just like all the rest of the world, there were no difference between us and them. For us, it was a time of love. And for those that he passed over, he left them exactly where they were, polluted in their own blood, using the language from Ezekiel 16. So God did look out to see, is there anybody that's going to choose him? And the answer to that is nobody. The answer to that is nobody. God providing for your future need is based on what? What's the criteria? What's the basis for God providing for your future need in eternity? Was it based on your own merit? Based on your own goodness? Was it based on his evaluation of how good you were going to be? Nope, because nobody met the bill. So what was the basis of God providing for your need in eternity? Grace, unmerited favor, right? Because there was nobody that met the qualifications. Nobody. There's none good, no, not one. So what is the basis of God providing for your need and saving you from your sins in eternity? The grace of Jesus Christ. And that gives us confidence in what? That the basis for God bestowing his providence and providing for our need here in our lives and here in time, what's the basis of it? Oh, it's his grace, isn't it? It's unmerited favor. It's seeing people that are pitiful and broken vessels that make mistakes every day, and God overruling the mistakes of ourselves and the mistakes of others to bless us for his glory. And that's the story of providence, both in eternity and in time, right? God took the sin of Adam. God took the sins of all of us as well. And what did he do? He didn't work with it. He triumphed over it. He conquered over it, right? God delivered his people from the enemy of death by putting death to death. So the reason why we have hope and confidence that God will provide for our needs on a daily basis is because of the covenant of redemption, because he chose us before the world began, because he saved us by Jesus Christ and his finished work on the tree of the cross. The reason why we have confidence that he loves us more than the lilies, he didn't send his son to die for animals. He didn't send his son to die for lilies or grass. He sent his son to die for his people. And because of that, because of God's eternal providence, we should never doubt God's providence in our life. And just by way of depicting this eternal providence, I'd like to go to Genesis chapter 22. And we've already considered this before, Jehovah Jireh, that Abraham was commanded to offer his son Isaac, and God provided a ram caught in the thicket to be a substitute for his son. But I want to really highlight the language here in Genesis chapter 22 as we think about God seeing the need. And this certainly proves, this scene here on Mount Moriah certainly proves to us God's care and his intention and his love for his people in seeing the need ahead of time in a providential way in our life and making sure everything's there for that need. But boy, there is a greater lesson in our eternal salvation. And Abraham, I believe, speaking by the Spirit of God, when Isaac questions where the lamb was for a burnt offering, he knew that they were missing a component of worship. He knew they were missing a component of sacrifice. And he asked, "Dad, where's the lamb at?" And then Abraham, speaking through the Holy Spirit, says, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And you see, that is what happened. That's what happened on the tree of the cross, that God came down to this world. God came himself as a lamb, as the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, as the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world and the sins of his people. As the Lamb of God, he came down himself to provide for our need. And we know that the angel tells Abraham to stop as the knife is about to go down. The ram takes the place. Notice, again, the eternal picture here of there is a man that, and Isaac was a sinner. In that sense, he was going to die sometime. He was worthy of death because of the command of God. But the son was substituted by the ram, and the ram took his place, which is the beautiful doctrine of substitution, substitutionary atonement, that Jesus Christ took our place. And the reason why he had to be made lower than the angels, the reason why he had to become a man, is because he had to be like us to take our place, you see? But that place, Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide or the Lord will see. And again, boy, that's true in our daily lives. But do you see the vision of God in seeing the needs of his people before the foundation of the world? And what did he do? What is the ultimate need for his people? The ultimate need for these sinners is God. The ultimate need for these sinners is Jesus Christ. So what did he send for? He sent Jesus Christ to die for their sins. And you want to know what God does in calling? He sends Jesus Christ into our heart. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What do all these sinners need on a daily basis? They need me. They need God. They need Jesus Christ. And that's what we need on a daily basis. We need Jesus Christ. But don't forget, you got him. As the child of God, you've got him. You, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have the power of Jesus Christ in your soul to tap into. We just have to be willing to do it. We just have to be vigilant to do that on a daily basis. So God saw our need and sent his son to die for our sins. And it's because of God's eternal salvation that we have confidence in temporal salvation and salvations here in time. Notice this verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, and in whom we trust he will yet deliver. So what we find here is because of confidence that God delivered us from so great a death. And boy, that's why it's so important. That's why it's so important for you to have the correct understanding of how you are saved from your sins. You're not saved from your sins by you praying a prayer or being baptized or believing in Jesus Christ or walking in obedience and good works. You are saved by the unmerited favor and grace of God who chose you before the world began. The reason why you are delivered from so great a death is because of nothing, in all bold and all caps, nothing in and of yourself. And there's no but to that. There's no exceptions to that. There's no loopholes. You are saved by grace alone, not grace plus prayer, not grace plus baptism, not grace plus works. Because when you put the but after grace, it butts out the grace. Okay? But the reason why we have confidence, and notice that there's three salvations here in this verse. There's three salvations. Who delivered us from so great a death. And that's done. Delivered. Past tense. Because Jesus delivered us from so great a death. Because he sent his son to die for our sins. And then also we see his daily salvations and deliverances in our life. He doth deliver. Because God saved me from my sins. And he's been gracious enough to at least allow me to see some temporal deliverances. Because of that, in whom we trust he will yet deliver. The reason why we have confidence in the future of God's deliverance and salvations and providence in our life, the reason why we have confidence in the future is centered in the bedrock of him delivering us from so great a death and also seeing those providential deliverances on a daily basis around us. You see, what is the bedrock of our hope and faith? And notice, this is based on faith in whom we trust, in whom we trust. We trust that God will deliver us. And why? Why do we trust that God will deliver us? Because he sent his son to die for our sins. He saw our need in eternity, and he provided for that need by sending his son to die for our sins. And because of that, we know he didn't leave us or forsake us in eternity when we were in the most destitute state possible. And because of that, we know that his promise is true, that he will never leave us or forsake us when we are in need here in time. Amen. So, as we continue in this consideration of the providence of God, I want you to put a foundational cornerstone in your mind. And when you doubt, is the Lord going to bless me in this situation? You want to know what you need to look to? You need to look to the tree of the cross. You need to look to the Lamb of God offered on your behalf. And because of the proof that God has given us, that he's not going to leave us or forsake us by sending his son to die for us, we can have faith and confidence and trust him that he will yet deliver us when we stand in need here in our lives as well. Please cement that as a bedrock foundation in your mind. And where do we go when we get discouraged? Where do we go? We go to Jesus Christ. When we get discouraged and we doubt how things are going to turn out, what do we look to? Look to the cross. Look to the deliverance from so great a death. And because of that, we have hope and confidence, and we trust by faith that he will yet deliver us, because our God is so good. Our eternal Jehovah Jireh, our eternal provider, our eternal Jehovah Jireh will provide for our need. Trust in Jesus Christ. He's worthy. He's worthy of your glory. He's worthy of your praise, and he's worthy of your faith. He's worthy of your trust. Trust in him, because he died for your sins, and he will never leave you or forsake you on this side of heaven either. May God richly bless you with the presence of his Son, Jesus Christ, in a rich and a manifold way on this Lord's Day. May God bless you.